This is the session that we fondly refer to as open mic, which is a little ironic since we're all on telephones, but that's okay. We wanted to just take a few minutes to actually open up the lines to those participants on this webinar to see what particular thoughts that they may have, now that you've heard a little bit about our collections and our digital resources, about the kinds of resources that as scholars or as faculty members you're using, or the materials that you're not finding in libraries, and how CRL and its participating institutions might be able to assist. In other words, what are the emerging trends of research? What kinds of source material are you looking for or using? And what are the challenges you're facing? I sent an email out to the scholars and the faculty members this morning inviting them to contribute some thoughts on this if they are willing to. I'm not going to call anybody by name or force anybody to say anything, but we do welcome your comments, and maybe for the next 10 minutes or so we can discuss this if there are particular issues that scholars want to address. Or conversely, as librarians, you know, what trends are we seeing? What are the faculty members coming to us for? And how might we collaboratively approach these situations? I'll remind you, if you want to speak, you can press star 6 to unmute your phone line. There's no real method of order, so you know, we might be tripping over each other a little bit. I have somebody who's posted something to us via the online chat that might be able to get us started. They were interested in finding out more about African science fiction or fantasy writing, in particularly comic books. I also invite the librarians who are participating in this, if they know of these kinds of resources or if they're collecting them in their own collections, to speak up to maybe help out some of the scholars and faculty members who are asking questions.
Well, this is Mary at CRL, and since no one else has jumped in, I want to point out that at last year's purchase proposal program, we did buy a reprint set of seminal Japanese mangai works through that. So, as James mentioned, if the scholars at your institutions know of such sets or materials, please think about nominating them for the purchase proposal coming up.
Peter Lim raised his virtual hand, but we didn't hear him. We can try again. I think, Peter, if you want to try pressing star 6, I'll pause for a second. Maybe we're suffering a little bit of technical difficulties. That seems to be very common in these subject webinars. Maybe they'll edit that comment out later for the online transmission. But we did, while we're waiting, Peter can send. I do have a speaker on the line. Hello.
Hi. I'm the one who asked about the science fiction, the African science fiction and fantasy, because I've recently received some material. There's a Turkish vendor who was selling African, well, it's really your writings on African science African figures, African superheroes. So I was just wondering if CRL has looked at this area at all, the 20th century popular culture materials, comic books, fantasy. From the 19th to the 20th century, there's tons of material on Egyptian and North African writers of science fiction and fantasy, but a lot of that material has not been translated in English. Has anybody looked into this area at all?
it's an excellent point. And that was, for your information, that was Rebecca Hankins speaking.
At Texas A&M.
Yes.
Welcome. I don't know whether you can still hear me, can you?
We can now, yes. Peter, yes.
James?
Yes, I can hear you, Peter.
Okay, so before it didn't work. On the question of comic art, we've got an extensive collection of comic art, including Africa. On science fiction, no, but I had two questions on the presentations. One was about the law project, which sounds very interesting, and I think we need to look at law reports there, African law reports, which are very rich for historians. And clearly that's an area that we're very weak on, is the early law reports, which have a lot of cultural and social issues. The other question was about the world newspapers. And at our camp meeting in April in Kansas, James, you advised that we should prepare a new list for maybe 100,000. But in the presentation, Virginia mentioned that the limit was now almost reached. So I'm confused by that.
Well, I'll address the second question first about the World Newspaper Archive. Yes, the targeted amount was 400,000 pages, and this was determined last year at some point when we were looking at available budgets and what we felt we could appropriately take on and ask the members to support. At the camp meeting, as Peter was referring to, the Cooperative Africana Microform Project meeting, we suggested that if there was additional material that we would like to see included in this module or perhaps in a second module of African newspapers, it would be very appropriate for those individuals or institutions to recommend particular titles. In fact, we found along the way of development that some of the microfilm that we were sourcing this material from, perhaps predictably, the quality was not as good as one might have hoped for the material. And so we're looking at a couple of titles where the quality may be insufficient even for display in digital format, and so there may be room for substitute titles or add-on titles to those particular materials. So, yeah, Virginia was correct in that we were approaching the stated limit and the listed titles that we wanted to put into this particular module, but our ears are still open to those that might be interested in adding content or perhaps suggesting alternate titles for us.
Okay. I just wanted to quickly add a few other points, and then I'll shut up. I think the earlier question touched on a really important issue, which was culture, and I mean science fiction, culture, comics, etc. I think we have to, as we are changing with the times, moving into more digital resources, we also need to keep abreast of changes in the scholarly perspectives or paradigms, and so increasingly that is drawing upon culture, sport, dress, religion, art, so on and so forth. So I think there are some exciting areas there that we could go into, and that almost also might take us into different formats, including visual and audio resources. So I could imagine a CRL camp project, maybe a national project, collecting oral interviews of scholars working in Africa that could see sort of a digital, once permissions were granted, et cetera, sort of growing oral collection there. And that would fit in well with African repositories as well. The other suggestions is maybe to draw upon the ephemera of scholars. Some of our previous camp faculty reps, like David Newberry, for instance, probably has an extensive ephemera on Rwanda and Burundi, and you could duplicate that across different areas. On the theses or dissertations, there's been a whole range of recent digitization of theses in Africa, Burkina Faso, Senegal, Nigeria, Malawi, and maybe CRL could negotiate to acquire or copy backup copies, if there's agreement, from the African repositories, which would swell our numbers of these are digital theses. And on the archives, I think we're already looking at that very carefully, but and there's lots of ideas. But on the newspapers, I'll report at the next meeting about my discussions with the British Library and their digitization project, and they were quite enthusiastic and amenable to joint projects with people like CAMP and CRL and pointed out that they anticipated that in their own project, African newspapers would probably be at the bottom of the priority list of the commercial companies that they've engaged. So those were my suggestions, and I'll hand over to others now.
Peter,
I'd like to add something to what he was saying, because the British Library is doing that Endangered Archives program, and it seems like a perfect fit with what CNRL is doing.
Endangered Archives projects, and we succeeded in having one accepted recently in West Africa. And I've spoken with the Endangered Archives people, and they're very interested in having national archives in Africa involved, because most of the current projects to date have been private archives. But it is an interesting question about the relationship of CRL CAMP with the Endangered Archives.
I
think we need to, everyone needs to be doing something on that score.
Yeah, absolutely. Peter, your points were excellent, and Rebecca, thank you very much for introducing this topic. CRL's collections are often, this may be telling tales out of school, they're often behind the times at this point, because we collect a lot of materials that scholars have used in their research, but they perhaps aren't ready to give it up for a decade or more. We've not collected material related to current political events in Africa in any substantial way. A lot of our collections really are at the heyday of CAMP's collecting of materials from, the Nigerian Bay Africa conflict, et cetera, that kind of material. And so really it's nice to stimulate some thinking about the current trends in research and how we can collaboratively approach them. And Peter, I think you touched on a lot of really important points that we can follow up on.
James?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can.
It's KJ from Duke. How are you?
Oh, very well. Nice to hear you, Karen Jean.
Yeah, one question. We've had some conversation with faculty members about their field notes. Lots of issues there with second-party rights and getting permission to have those released. We're trying to go to a more open-source publishing here at Duke. I was just wondering, had you ever considered field notes from either anthropologists or historians or folks who've done work in Africa?
CAMP has acquired extensive early collections of field notes. We haven't collected too much by way of modern field notes. People who especially now are doing oral narratives and collecting recordings along the way, these are challenges, I think, for permissions processes, though I'd imagine that if the proper rights were granted up front, and a lot of institutions are pretty smart in guiding their faculty and scholars on this now, that we would certainly consider projects like that. I don't think anything's come before us recently, though.
But the big problem here, as Peter again, is republication. If we're going to do digital version, if we're going to do digital versions, we're republishing those field notes, and if it involves sensitive or other authors, that's the complex. This was part of the discussion in London at the Skolma meeting on personal papers in Africa, and Marion and Laverne and I were at that meeting, and there was quite some discussion about these sorts of copyright issues. This is going to be a really tricky one, I think, for CAMP's and CRL's digitization. Because we are sitting on a lot of very interesting archives that James and Virginia mentioned. But how does one, for instance, publish all those letters? So this is quite tricky and can partly get around it with the date of publication, but have to be careful about sensitive matters there.
This is Bonnie Ryan from Syracuse University. Can you all hear me?
Yes, Bonnie.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. I'm pretty much a silent member of the CAMP list, and I think I've been in contact with James and a few others, and our bibliographer, one of our bibliographers here is Marty Hansen, has been in contact. As you may know, we have the Kenya National Archives here, a copy of the Kenya National Archives a lot of the colonial documents here, mm-hmm. and at Syracuse University, which was originally was part of the East Africa program here. And that's one of the issues that we're looking at now is some way of digitizing and making available, if not the actual the actual documents themselves, which cover thousands of microfilms of government sources, reports, ephemera, dissertations, but also how to digitize some of the finding aids as well to make them available. And so I, you know, this is related, I think, to a lot of the issues and the actual documents is copyright. I mean, the documents themselves are government documents that are owned by the Kenya government.
Yeah, this is a particular challenge, I think, that we've we've been facing here is, you know, looking at ways that we can make cultural property available or widely accessible is certainly a sensitive issue, and particularly in parts of Africa where sometimes even the originals of these materials aren't accessible anymore or are restricted to in-house use only.
Right.
I think this is it's a really interesting collection to consider, and maybe this is something, just for lack of time, we're probably not able to cover here, but if there is interest from those on the line, we encourage you to either give us a thumbs up on the chat, or we can follow up on the camp listserv on this and maybe bring something towards that committee in the fall.
James?
Yes?
This is Yusuf Caruso.
Hello, Yusuf.
From Colombia, current chair of camp. I'm taking lots of notes. And I did have two questions, though, on other things. One is the common law abroad, or the cooperation with the LLMC, which I actually wasn't aware of, and I'd like for CAMP to get more involved in that. It seems to me, in terms of, it seems like you're inviting advice on selection. That's my question. I wasn't clear about that. The other question I had was, is it possible to identify the UK theses that were digitized under Islamic culture and politics, either from the catalog or is there a guide? Those are my two questions.
Those are great questions, actually, yeah. And Virginia will send out some information to all the participants, more details about the ethos collaboration. It's pretty easy to see what's been digitized already, but I'm not sure you can see what we nominated for them. But she'll send out more data on that. And in terms of the law library partnership, yes, we are interested in feedback. We have a selection committee that is working with the board of the law library, but they are looking for input from the international audience, particularly from our camp experts, to recommend titles. So we'll also follow up with some data about that. Edward Miner did have a comment related to popular video. If he's still on the line and able to speak up, we would invite him to chat at any moment.
Yes, I'm here, James.
Please, go ahead.
Well, this is something that has come up before in camp and ALC meetings, and it's something that I've run across here as a sort of increasing need for primary research materials in popular video, and these things are not widely collected or distributed except for Nigerian titles, and there are burgeoning popular video industries across Africa, and these things are really fugitive. They sort of come and go, and LC is good about supplying us with current popular video titles from Kenya, but they don't collect beyond Kenya. If anyone's interested, Iowa now has a very good, probably a comprehensive selection of new Tanzanian popular videos, which we'll make available through interlibrary loan. And the Swahili, most of them even have subtitles now. So these things, the production quality of these things is getting pretty good. They are, you know, rather mundane topics, and there are a zillion of them, so it's hard to know, you know, what to get because there's just so much of it. But I think that it is something that we need to pay attention to because this kind of material is not really being collected. It's not being distributed except possibly Nigerian titles, And secondly, a kind of a preservation concern, a lot of this kind of really sort of the better popular, or actually probably more art video is ending up on YouTube. There's a and for those things, I guess there's a concern about preservation. There's something called Makmende, which is sort of a new Kenyan kind of action hero who plays out in a series of videos on YouTube, and it's a YouTube it's actually a phenomenon of a popular cultural craze in Kenya a couple of months ago, I don't know to what extent that those primary source materials survival is guaranteed. So those are just some comments which I'd like to put out there, which camp may want to talk about. So I'm done.
Yeah, thank you, Edward. That's very useful, I think, and it is a category that a lot of our scholars and faculty members are interested in. So let's perhaps agree to carry forward that discussion on one of our listservs or at our next meetings. And those scholars who are online today but not on those lists could certainly reply to me personally with your comments on anything that you've heard here, and we can make sure that gets passed along to those that are losing sleep over collecting this kind of material, like myself. I think we're going to have to move on here. We're already approaching 10 minutes before the hour, and we want to wrap up in reasonably expedient fashion. But I think that this has been one of the most engaging conversations we've had on one of these subject webinars, and so we appreciate you taking the time. If you have thoughts, feel free to send them to any one of the emails you'll see at the end here, or to Gwen, who sent out the information about the agenda, and we can continue this discussion online.